This is our last visit for the month, Jill. I think you're doing vacation, aren't you?
I'm supposed to. I don't know. Let's see what happens with this negotiation and Congress.
Yes, yes.
I may have a little, you know, no one has a real vacation anymore. I'm doing a staycation.
So I don't know how
I'm going to do this because, you know, I am so used to just completely hooking in. It's going to be very difficult to disengage for me.
Well, you know, surprising thing, I mean, overnight, I guess, apparently, reaction to the president's and, you know, the questions as to whether or not he can even do this with executive orders. But a number of the markets, with the exception of Japan, which is closed today, they actually were up. So, I mean, there was some reaction out there around the world that said, well, that's okay, maybe that'll help. What was all in that? Because, I mean, there are a lot of confusion here.
Yeah, well, okay, so specifically the extra money from the unemployment system, remember that $600 a week?
Yes.
So you get money from your state, and then you get $600 a week from the government. That ran out on July 31st.
Right.
And so in this emergency executive order, pardon me, there is an additional $400 a week, so less than the $600 that there.
Right.
That the Democrats wanted, more than the $200, which was the first offer by Republicans. But it's a very thorny thing because of the $400, $300 would come from the federal government, $100 would have to come from the states, and
right.
The states would have to actually agree to do that. That's kind of tough because if a state like Connecticut is worried about how am I going to pay for testing, and then you got to figure out how you're going to pay for $100 a week extra,
right.
Difficult to do. Also, the $300 of the federal money, it's siphoning money off from the disaster relief fund. So what happens in 3 weeks if we're talking about a hurricane and there's no money in that fund? So you can see that this is going to be quite thorny. The other piece of it, there would be a moratorium on evictions, but some of the things that are not addressed in these executive orders, no stimulus checks of $1,200, no relief for small businesses, no relief for schools, and no relief for cities and states. So there's a lot missing from what the Fed, what the president just did.
Well, you just mentioned
trying to do.
If you go to JillOnMoney.com or you listen on Saturdays, which is always good, 4 to 6, you've got basically a podcast, so to speak, and you're talking to somebody about the future of small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen, a lot of these guys are saying, "Look, we opened up, okay, we're back here. Where's the business? I mean, we're not going to make it here." And Jill, I don't know. You've seen numbers, but some of it's just horrid. I don't even want to get into it.
Yeah, listen to this. It's wild. Cornell University did a study. They did a survey, and they said, asking about people who work for small businesses, right? And what they wanted to find out, like, well, if your business received the payroll protection, how did it do? Anyway, 30% of workers who were placed back on the payrolls after they were initially laid off.
Right.
So in other words, your boss gets a PPP loan, you get called back to work. Almost a third of those people are laid off again.
Another
quarter of them say their bosses have already contacted them and said, the business isn't there, you better be prepared, we're probably going to have to lay you off again.
Oh.
So I think this small business thing is a big deal. I really do. And
I spoke to a
restaurant owner, chef, and you know, it was interesting. Like he said, you know, we were ready to bring a bunch more people back. We were going to do restaurant. We were going to have dinner in the restaurant. We had upgraded our HVAC system. And then the governor and the mayor said no dining inside. So they quickly shifted and said, okay, so some of you who were going to come back, don't come back. And they, you know, it's amazing what small businesses do. They had petitioned with a bunch of other businesses on their street to be one of the streets in New York City to be closed. And so they could have more tables.
Okay, sure.
Right. So anyway, I will say to you, it is a hot mess for the small businesses out there. It really is.
How many, you know, Jill, just another question, because earlier I think on the show you were talking about colleges and so on and so forth. And, of course, there'll be major changes there. But I saw a thing in Forbes, I don't know, maybe it was before this really started rolling, and they said at present their guess was a quarter of colleges aren't going to make it through this.
Yeah, okay. I interviewed a guy for I had a piece air on Sunday, CBS Sunday Morning yesterday. I interviewed a guy for this, and he had that same, I heard that stat, but there's no way to quantify that stat.
No.
That's the problem. So what I learned which is why I didn't put it in the piece. You know, it's sort of like he made it up, and not made it up. He tried to come up with that, but no one else believes that I could find. So what I do know is that if you are you're a small liberal arts college in Connecticut, I would just like to use your state, and you have fewer than 1,000 kids attending, and you have an endowment that's less than $1 billion.
Yikes.
You are the type of school that's at risk. It doesn't mean you're going to go out of business, but it means you're going to have a lot of pain. A lot of the administrators that I spoke to said they are looking at creative ways to merge, which would be kind of interesting to see. You know, I don't know, like, give me two schools.
Trinity Wesleyan.
Right, Trinity Wesleyan and Connecticut College. Can you come up with, like, can you, the three of you sort of merge, get rid of some extra layers of people? I don't know, but that's something to think about. And I do believe that there are going to be more and more schools that are facing financial hardship, and they're going to have to be incredibly careful about how they manage this process.
Well, I can see there could be an economy of scale if you think about it. Let's say you have three programs, one at Conn, one at Trinity, one at Wesleyan. Maybe you could combine them, and that would make it a little easier, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, and maybe you have just one finance office and one HR department and one, you know, those are the kinds of things. And then maybe you say, well, you know, we don't need as many. Well, you're going to take, you know, yes, we, you know, tenure only works, by the way, if you have a institution that can endure. So, you know, we've seen cases where universities lay off tenured professors because they can't make it. And there was one in Akron, University of Akron, just laid off 20% of their tenured professors because they are not sure they're going to make it. And everybody just agreed to it because they said, you know what, we're going to have to figure this out.
All right. Jill, anything we need to watch this week? Because we're going to have to get out of here in just a moment.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to stay with you for a few more hours.
I love
retail talking. Sales end of the week. Let's see what happens. Inflation data in the next couple of days.
And not terrible employment numbers on the end of last week either.
I don't love those numbers. Inside the report, I don't like it. Growth is slowing down.
Okay.
Broad unemployment rates, it's still 16.5%.
Yeah.
And the 300,000 government workers was a total seasonal quirk. So,
all right.
You know, listen,
harsh my buzz.
Even at 1.8 million jobs, it's still going to take well into 2021 to recoup all the jobs lost so far.
Hey, Jill, it's always great. Thanks.
Take care.
You can get Jill on money.com. You can also listen to her every Friday or Saturday afternoon from 4 until 6.